This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
I am good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here to report.
Smiley. Well, you saw them. Did you see the moon?
I now on Friday nights check the moon at night and in the morning so that I don't have to be corrected by my sister ever again.
I've come to the point where I look at the moon in the morning specifically to so I can back you up or not.
And I can guarantee you will be corrected again. Maybe not on the moon, but in other things.
Thanks, Mark.
But it is a gorgeous moon. It is spectacular.
It was a beautiful, clear, crisp morning, but not too cold. No frost.
44-ish, 43.
Yeah, no frost, but it's still chilly.
Didn't have to cover my potatoes.
That's a cold day.
Excuse me? Yeah, you did. Well, whatever.
No.
Your taters.
I left them out, and they were happy.
Right now would be a great time to be sitting outside with a cup of coffee watching the moon go down and the sun come up.
Yeah, because that's going to be just about at the same time.
Yeah, be gorgeous.
Yeah. Did you see?
Well, wait a second. You're going to let this. You would like to be sitting outside with a cup of coffee right now.
We're
going to let that go.
No, I don't mean at this exact moment because I'm here with you guys, but I meant it's a good time to be doing that. Right. You may be listening to the radio show while you're sitting outside with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, see, I'm usually in bed at that point.
Sunrise is beautiful.
It can be. Yeah. I mean, I remember my dad and I were in Maui one time on vacation. This was years ago. And he had read something before we went over about how great the sunrise is from the top of Haleakala, the big volcano on Maui. So we got up at,
God knows whatever time.
3:30 in the morning or something like that, and drove all the way up to the top of the mountain. The summit was up around 10,000 feet. I mean, it's way up there. We got up there. It was so cloudy, we couldn't see anything.
Yeah, you're a bug. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a bitter young man sitting in the car.
A sleepy.
But you got over it apparently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was an adventure.
And now I do that to my kids.
It's a truth, isn't it?
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh yeah. He was looking out for the best interest of everybody.
I highly recommend at least giving it a try.
Well, it is something I would do to my kids.
Oh yeah. And I wouldn't. They would do it to me.
Oh well, okay.
That had me thinking about something else too, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, did you see the video of that Falcon booster coming back into the atmosphere the other night?
I did not. No.
Oh, the spectacular shower that it.
Yeah, it was incredible. Came back into the atmosphere and broke up into just.
Oh, that was the meteor. I saw something about.
They said it was a meteor, but it was actually a Falcon 9 booster that came back.
Cool.
It was incredible. A friend of mine who lives up in Washington State, she said she saw it on one of the very rare clear nights that they have up where she lives.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting to be able to see that.
Yeah, it would have been something to see.
It probably would have freaked me out. No, thought the end of the world was coming, but yeah.
Do you remember when that rocket was going past us?
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago.
And people thought it was the end of the world. They thought it was North Korea sending over nuclear.
I think I might have been up in Palmdale when that happened, and I might have had a drink.
I have some really good photographs of that from my backyard.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember seeing a launch one night when I was a kid when we lived on Galveston Street, and it freaked me out because I didn't know if it was one of ours or if it was an alien.
Well, and now the alien talks. Starting
coming
to
back,
hit to, yeah. Well,
then,
starting
and,
to
and,
hit,
and then it's it, it and it doesn't dissipate right away. So it, you know, the sun goes down and it's still up glowing up in the sky, and it's It was kind of freaky.
Mm-hmm.
But they are spectacular to watch. I think there's a Falcon 9 launch coming up next month from Vandenberg, but they haven't put the launch window or the time in yet. So, and you can follow it. Vandenberg publishes their launch schedule.
I get an update every month from, I'm not sure who it is that.
I don't know.
Anyway, I get an update every month, and then they tell me when these things
are
coming. Well,
you're usually my update.
I'm here for you.
I appreciate you.
I am here for you. I did want to let you all know that my potatoes have begun blooming, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, if you want to start harvesting seeds and increase the diversity in your garden, the genetic diversity of your potatoes, you have the opportunity now. You can have true potato seeds.
Genetic diversity and microbial activity.
Well, not microbial activity.
George's two best phrases. Okay. And I have noticed as I've been digging for gophers that once you get below about 6 inches of my soil, it's pretty darn dry.
Yeah, I turned my sprinklers back on even though we had some rain the other day. There was some stuff in the yard that was
dry,
showing that it could use some water.
So these last couple of rains have just wet the surface and not soaked through.
It hasn't been much at all.
It's kind of weird that two nights ago, what was it? It wasn't last night. I guess
Thursday night.
Yeah, it rained pretty hard at my house.
It rained.
Yeah, but you're right. But it wasn't.
It just didn't.
It didn't last long. Right.
It got everything wet. That was about it.
It makes people think that everything got watered,
right.
But it was very shallow. And I was very proud last week. I think it was last week I told you guys that I had taken home strawberries and I potted them up and I hung them in a tree. I set them up in this tree that I had cut back. And I was very proud of myself for actually doing it.
Until what?
Until you forgot to water them?
No, I got home. And I guess the weight of the water, I watered it before I left for radio, had broken the branch I set them on in the tree, so it was down on the ground as a mess. The window box that I'd set across two branches, the branch broke. And
why did you put them in the tree?
I'd get them up off the ground and up higher into the sun.
To keep the sow bugs and pill bugs off of it?
And I had a hanging basket that was hanging below it on the same branch, and that was fine because it just fell straight down. It was only a couple of feet off the ground. I don't know. To keep the,
it seemed like a good idea.
Yeah, until the branch broke, it was a beautiful idea. No sow bugs, no snails, no chance of anything. And there probably wouldn't have been anyway, but.
Yeah, I hear you. No good deed goes unpunished.
Well, speaking of strawberries, I came across a new term that I don't know how I'd missed it or hadn't seen it in the however many years that I've been doing this, but day neutral.
As opposed to long day and.
I saw the term on the tag, day neutral strawberry. And then
strawberries are typically classified as June bearing and ever bearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a relatively new term. And we were looking it up yesterday.
Yeah.
David, you read something.
Well, no, I was just going to say day neutral. They don't want to change back the time. They are probably for
standardized time.
They are the Switzerland of
I think
days.
They're very much just, they produce much like the ever-bearing, is what I read.
Okay.
They don't care.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We are actually going to go up to Fallbrook, where Harry has a citrus question. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Hi. I have two questions. So I want to know if you know what causes yellowing on a citrus. And my other question would be peanuts. Do you get involved with peanuts? How do peanuts do in this country, in this county?
First off, I'll answer the question about peanuts. We get them from time to time, usually later in the summertime.
We had some in Point Loma. I don't know.
And they need soft, rich soil to grow in, but you should be able to get a halfway decent crop out of them.
They're fun to grow. It's fun to watch the
blue jays.
The flower forms and it kind of drills down into the ground and produces the peanut down in the ground. So it's kind of fun to grow.
Yeah.
Just make sure you loosen the soil.
It has to be very, very loose soil.
Do you carry them?
I know that in the Point Loma store, Thursday, I saw we get four inch plants.
That's what we usually get.
I think you still have some there. I think I saw some yesterday.
There was some there. I don't know. I mean, we kind of go through them.
Give us a call to make sure.
I'm pretty sure there's still some there.
Well, how about from seed?
I know we don't have seed, but I don't know.
I guess if you got some raw organic peanuts, you probably could try and grow them.
See why not, right?
Go to the next baseball game and hopefully
they can't be roasted or you're gonna miss out on the opportunity to grow them. But you get some good practice of digging and planting.
Do you want to troubleshoot the citrus?
Well, the citrus, there's many different causes of yellowing. One would be a lack of water causes the trees to stress, and then they get bleached by the sun, turning them yellow. This time
winter,
of the year.
Exactly. Coming out of winter.
If there's new growth coming on the tree, I wouldn't worry at all about the older leaves looking bad as long as there's new bud and bloom and green leaves coming out. As long as the new stuff comes out fine, I wouldn't worry about it. But make sure during the summer and fall that the trees are getting plenty of water.
Could it be anything to do with root disease or nematodes?
It could, but probably is not. It's usually a more simple solution on citrus.
And feeding as well.
Yeah, it could be.
You want to make sure you're feeding it thoroughly throughout the year.
Well, and sometimes if they stay too wet, the foliage will turn yellow.
If you're doing a lot of overwatering, I mean, if you're regularly keeping them overwatered and washing the nitrogen out of the root zone, it will yellow them up. But this time of the year, is there new growth coming on them?
Yeah, but they've been kind of yellow all season long, and there is some new growth, but they've been yellow for a while. I was just wondering if it was something to do with maybe a pathogen or nematodes or something.
Most likely not, but...
How often do you water it?
Yeah, that's the question.
They're on automatic. I believe they get enough.
My guess is they're getting too much water because your system's going to be on too frequently. That's my guess. And they may not be getting deep enough water, but they're being watered. I can almost assure you, you're watering them way too often. And you may not want to change everything because it's on the same system. I don't know, but I can. Most people say
they water their citrus, every 3 days, or something.
And you don't need to do that, but. I don't want to tell you to change everything because
put them into one.
Yeah, I mean, water them heavy when good soakings when you do water them, but infrequent. Again, they don't need to be. Most likely through this winter time, you don't have the schedule the same in the winter time as you do in the summertime, do you?
Sounds like most people do. I water more often in the summer, of course.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know but that's typically people are going to water. They're not going to cut back stuff because they don't.
Yeah.
And are you feeding it on a regular basis?
No, not on a regular basis.
I would look at that as well as just double check your watering, make sure you're watering it, once a week. You can go as far as every 14 days except for the heat of the summer with a good deep watering, less frequent heavy waterings, and feed it on a regular basis.
Yeah, and
you'll see some improvement.
You will.
All right.
When was it planted?
It was planted last year.
Okay. It's still in its pot. I mean, it needs to grow out. But, once it's been in there for a while, it gets established, you won't need to water it, often.
Get some food on it.
Yep.
And continue that new growth coming out green. I'm sure the new growth is green right now. Regardless of what you're doing, the new growth's going to be fine. We're probably looking at some leaves from last summer and fall that probably... got bleached out from a lack of water and getting too much sun. But yes, it could be something in the soil, but no, it is probably not.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Harry. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Thanks.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Supposed to be a spectacular weekend.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to get hot tomorrow, right? I mean,
in
today,
the 80s?
Today in the 80s? I thought it was tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. I hope it's tomorrow because I wore long pants today.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we shall see.
It's going to be a beautiful, clear, sunny weekend, and one of the next 2 days is going to be warmer than the other. That's my prediction.
That's your prediction?
You heard it here.
First.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this. We'll be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ.
Can we go back to my sister for 1 minute?
Sure.
She thinks we need more diversity of song, and I don't. She doesn't like Garden Party at every return. I love it at every return. What do you guys think?
I could mix it up a little.
Yeah, I can mix
it. I was thinking about it. I could come up with some more garden related bumper music.
But I do love Ricky.
So you're going to agree with my sister too?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Told you you'd be wrong again.
Don't worry, I'm against your sister. I like this.
It didn't take long, did it?
No.
I thought we might get through a whole show. 45 seconds. Just one song. Okay. Yeah. All right. You can go to wherever you were going before I.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number you're listening to Garden Talk. We actually have some avocados in stock.
Yes.
Yeah. And they don't look bad.
They're bigger than the last batch we got.
They are.
And what'd we get?
Let's see. I saw Holidays, Haas, Lamb Haas, and I think there were a few surprises out there.
And Little Cottos.
And lots of Little Cottos.
Little Cottos.
Oh, works.
Yes.
And oh,
fries.
I missed those.
Yes. And we got them in Poway this week, and San Diego will get them next week.
Correct.
But we were the guinea pigs in Poway, so
we wanted
you guys
to see
have,
them first.
Right now you have Surprise and Haas from Monrovia.
Correct.
And we have Surprise and Haas plus the ones you just mentioned. And San Diego will get the plus the ones you just mentioned next week, I think on Tuesday.
That's what Tony said, yeah.
Okay. And it's the first time we've gotten decent 5-gallon avocados these last couple of weeks in months.
So it's been a while.
It is the truth. So if people are looking for avocados, strike while the iron's hot, because if we have them now, hopefully we're going to blow through them. So if people are looking for them, they better give
and
us a call.
And it was just a chance.
Yeah. We're not holding back.
At the end of the day, I made a phone call, and the person I needed with whom I needed to speak answered the phone and had avocados.
Yeah, which is...
It's rare these days.
I mean, it's... It's
supplies of everything.
Do you have a surprise on with your many avocado plantings?
No. Do I need one?
You were saying that it's your favorite.
It's my favorite. So that thus far, I mean, there's hundreds of varieties, but so I haven't tried them all. But I like the surprise I have.
You know, my Haas that I'm so proud of, I kind of think maybe it's a surprise, just because of the extended season.
Surprise is a little bit earlier. It's a grandchild of a Haas.
Grandchild?
Yeah.
Okay. How much earlier?
I think they say starts in October. Oh, so I know that it doesn't hang on the tree. It doesn't hang on the tree as long as a Haas.
Then forget it. Mine's a Haas.
Yeah.
Because it hangs on the tree.
But they are delicious and very, very buttery.
My dad's got a Holiday avocado. That thing produces massive avocados. They're huge.
Cannonballs.
Yeah. Well, it's more. What is it? Pyriform.
Is it?
It's more pyriform than a pear shaped. That like. It's like a regular. It's shaped like a regular avocado, but they're gigantic. I mean, they're huge. It's not like a reed or an A-ball with it, which is more round like a cannonball.
You talk about a cold hardiness on avocados. You typically say the Mexicola are the most cold hardy. I read on Monrovia's website that they say the Surprise is also can tolerate frost once it's established.
Well, oh, okay.
I've had little bits of frost damage on my Haas. But it's been very limited to small portions of the tree. I've never had an extensive damage from any extensive damage. And my neighbor's Fuerte's never had damage. And so, I mean, I know I've gotten quite a bit of frost in my yard over the last, 10 years? But it's never done much. I did once go down. I took an extension cord and a fan, and I took it down to that portion of the yard, and I blew a fan on it all night to move air. I don't know if it helped. It would have helped just a small portion of the tree. It was just a little stand-up fan.
It's okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're trying.
I was trying, but I don't do that anymore. No. I don't try anymore. Yeah. I gave up on trying.
Survival of the fittest at this point. Yes.
And, you know, as wacky as our supply lines can be.
Especially if they're on a container ship.
Yeah, that's going to be a mess for a long time. When I was walking through the store yesterday making notes for the show, we're really well stocked. We've got a lot of stuff in the store, and we've got some really nice stuff in the store. One of the things that people have been, I don't know why, but for the past 2 weeks or so, people have been asking for tarragon. I mean, they've just been, do you have tarragon yet? When are you going to get tarragon? Well, we got it.
It's tiny,
which a lot of a lot of the vegetables herbs and vegetables have been coming in a little bit smaller than we would normally see, but we do have tarragon in stock.
But tarragon's going. I had someone yesterday, I think 4 or 5 containers of tarragon bought. So they're going quickly.
It is a heat lover, and it usually is small early in the season.
Then it
and
takes off.
This is a different season. Mm. We had 2 batches of it. One was a little bit bigger than the other. Yeah. But as the weather warms up, maybe we have gotten our – I left my phone in the car, so I didn't give you your weather update this morning as I normally would do.
Well, Brendan did. He said high today is supposed to be 64.
It must be coastal and a little warmer inland. And 70-something tomorrow.
74 tomorrow.
So tomorrow I'll wear shorts. I'll be okay today. Oh, I hope.
You'll be fine.
Macadamias, we've got Kate and Beaumont seedlings.
Yeah, we were having a little discussion about how many years it takes for those to
California.
Fruit from
seeding. California rare fruit growers say that seedling avocado, I'm sorry, macadamia nuts, anywhere from 8 to 12 years to produce.
Really?
Right.
That seems.
We are expecting some grafted ones in a couple of months.
I wonder why the grafted ones produce faster.
Well, they
the same thing with avocados.
Because the Scion wood's already gone through puberty, essentially. It's already coming off of a tree that's producing.
And the other thing that's interesting, too, with Kate and Beaumont macadamia seedlings, they must come true from seed.
Kate has always been out there. Beaumont has not. And I was talking to the gentleman about it. He goes, there's no reason to think that it wouldn't. So...
Okay.
Get back to me in 8 years.
Let us know. The wisterias right now are in full bloom. Yeah.
Can we go back to macadamias for a minute?
Yes, go right ahead.
There are so many blooms coming, so many buds and trails of flowers. Catkins, I believe. I know we had this conversation last week. My tree must have thousands of them on
the fragrance?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because they haven't opened yet.
I guess it's not warm enough.
Capri and I were working in the yard yesterday, and hers are in full bloom, and it's spectacular.
Yeah.
They are so fragrant. It's warmer up there maybe than you are.
Well, now I'm bitter. Well
more bitter than normal, you meant to say.
Bitterer than usual.
More bitterer.
Interesting. I know. I don't have anything open.
Yeah. Oh, it's
well. Maybe wonderful. Maybe Sunday when the weather warms up, they'll open up.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk. We're going to head up to Oceanside where Paul is waiting. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for taking the call because I have a hibiscus that I started from a cutting my wife brought me. And it was great in the pot. It was doing fine. I thought it was ready to put in the ground, and it was okay for a while. Not any growth, but now after a couple of weeks, last few weeks, it's been yellowing. The leaves are yellowing, and I don't think there's any new growth at all. Is it viable from a cutting?
Sure. Absolutely. Did it have roots? I mean, had it rooted out?
Yes.
It's still in the pot, or you planted it in the ground now?
It's in the ground now, yes.
Okay. How is it being? How often are you watering it?
Every week, but with the rains, I've just made sure it's been damp, the soil.
Was it in this when you were preparing the cutting, when you were rooting the cutting, how much sun was it getting relative to what it's getting now? Is it getting more sun now than when it was your prepared cutting?
Well, I moved it into more sun as it looked very healthy. And at the most, it probably got, well, it may get a little bit more now. A couple hours more.
It may not have been acclimated to the sun. If you were doing a cutting, we have lots of growers that grow things in greenhouses, and they have to slowly move them out and acclimate them to the full sun. And sometimes, even right now with vegetables, the new leaves will, the old leaves will burn when they get moved into the sun because they weren't used to it. Like tomorrow, it's supposed to be hot, and you can get bleaching just from more sun than the plant was used to. And the other thing would be water, because we haven't had a good soaking rain in the last couple of weeks. We've had enough to wet the soil and make it look like it's been watered. So it may need more frequent waterings because it probably doesn't have a very big root system yet.
So, not very big, no.
And I would protect it from the hot sun and maybe put something over it to give it partial shade during the hottest part of the day or the hottest days until it establishes a little bit bigger and stronger root system.
All right. I tried to replicate that conditioning that you described, but I think you're right. I think I'll need to cover it with maybe shade cloth or something for a few hours of the hottest part of the day.
That'd be perfect. And it won't, if the leaves got bleached out, nothing's going to fix that, but the new leaves should come out acclimated and be fine.
Right.
Okay.
I'll try that. Yeah, she's very fond of this, so I got
don't
to
mess,
do my best.
Don't mess it up.
Okay.
You might be making more cuttings just to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend, Paul.
You as well.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Not to put any pressure on the relationship or anything, but if that cutting doesn't survive, Paul.
Could be over.
Yeah.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. The other thing that I saw, although I don't know if they're on the floor yet, we got some almonds in, some
part
all in
ones. Same crop.
Yeah.
They will be shortly if they are not.
Yeah. And the all in one is great because they produce with just one almond. And the other ones that we used to carry non-perial.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other one was, but you had to have both of those to get them to get them to set fruit.
I was up in the Central Valley last week, drove up Sunday, and going up the 99 through all of the farming communities, the beehives are out everywhere. All the blooms are almond trees and such everywhere.
Somebody, I had heard somewhere that honey from almond trees is not edible. It's not a good quality.
I heard that, but they have, I mean, they were, everything was in bloom, but they weren't there to make the honey as much as they were there to pollinate.
To pollinate, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I was noticing yesterday, went across the street, and the neighbor's rosemary was in full bloom with tons of bees.
Yeah, that's it. They really do.
And it made
me
think about where they're coming from in our neighborhood. My neighbors used to have an enormous pepper tree that, oh, I've got a great pepper tree bee story. Okay. However, if you want to hear about it.
You're going to have to wait. We need to take a break here with Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ at KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Last
go. Oh, you had a
People are waiting.
Pepper tree. Yeah. Pepper tree story.
Right.
People
They're
are waiting to hear that.
An enormous old California pepper was under the power lines, and so SDG&E came out and took it out for my neighbors. But it had a huge beehive in it, which I didn't know was there.
In the trunk?
In the trunk. It was in a crack of the tree. It had been there for years. But that tree is gone, and the bees are still around. And I'm just wondering where in my neighborhood they're hanging out, because there's plenty of bees around. And it's just, I don't see any hives, so they have to be in somebody's tree somewhere.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that, because back when I was little and lived on Galveston Street in Bay Park, our neighbors had a huge pepper tree in their front yard, and they ended up with a bumblebee hive in their pepper tree. I don't remember how they got rid of it, but I do remember they cut the tree down, because somebody was up in the tree with, we loaned them the chainsaw that we had at the nursery, which was a ancient chainsaw that weighed a ton, and somebody climbed up into the tree and cut a branch off, and it fell on somebody.
That would be
it might have been my mom. I can't remember. But it was a neighborhood affair getting rid of the pepper tree in the front yard.
When they are in bloom, that thing is just completely abuzz, covered in bees.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that's the source of pink peppercorns too. I'd have to confirm that. Don't go out in your yard and eat.
I've heard that as well, but I don't know if that's true or not. I've seen it for the Brazilian pepper as well, but it also says it can cause gastric distress, so I'm not sure. You know.
I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I cause gastric
because I know,
distress.
Because black pepper is actually from a pepper. I think it's from a peperomia.
Don't look at me.
I don't know.
Don't know that one. I get my pepper out of the little jar, little bottle.
And the black pepper originated down in Indonesia, Malacca, down in that area.
Been through Malacca a few times.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
I'm glad we have the bees. I see them on my fruit trees, and within the next hopefully week, I'll hear them on my macadamia.
It makes me think that there may be a hive somewhere on the east bank of the nursery property along Community Road.
Oh, probably, because, yeah.
Because in the summertime when it gets hot, the pond on the east side of the railroad layout is covered in bees.
They go there
for the water.
One of my favorite pictures I've ever taken at the nursery was that bee on the waterfall where the algae was forming off the rock with tongue deep in the water, pulling water out in one of those 105-degree temperatures.
There's a lot of bees over there in the summertime.
Okay. It's the water and a lot more.
That was Olympia.
Was it Olympia or Hams?
It was Olympia.
Olympia?
Yeah, I think it was Olympia.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And I've actually been to the Olympia Brewery many, many years ago. I think I was 7 years old, and I thought it stunk so bad.
I would never touch beer.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way, did it?
Yeah, that didn't happen.
It's an acquired taste.
I don't know who we got them from, but we have some beautiful lupins in
I think they're
like
coming
2 gallons
from Seagroves. Yeah. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they are.
Colors?
We have some gallons. We have some quarts.
Okay.
They're really pretty.
Do they naturalize well here?
They should season.
They should,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad and I were down in New Zealand for the first time, which was, I think, 1983 or something like that, we were down on the South Island, and we were driving down to Queenstown, I think it was, and we were coming down out of the hills. The lupins down there were enormous. I mean, they were like 8 feet across and taller than me, so like 6 or 7 feet tall, these huge flower spikes, and they were in different colors, and they just dotted the entire landscape down there. They were beautiful.
Whenever I hear lupins, I remember an English customer, a lady from Coronado.
Mrs. Gear?
Yes, and she would ask for Russell lupins.
Yes,
and
I can hear her
saying Russell lupins, and that's any time I see or think of the word or hear the word lupins, I think of Mrs. Gear saying Russell lupins. Because the first time I heard it, I didn't know what she was talking about.
Right. Yeah.
But now I hear her, I hear it in her with her British accent.
Correct.
It sounds better that way.
That's where that giant Buchornia that's at the nursery came from.
Came from their yard or her yard?
Yeah. I had to. Yeah. I was tasked with going and getting it.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Oh, God. No, I got what to, a disaster.
I got
was.
To do that with your dad at, well, what is her name, in La Jolla. And we dug out two or three big ones and tried to get them into the back of the truck.
What were you digging out?
Buchornias, the bottle, the elephant foot. And there's just nothing, it's just solid weight.
Yeah,
it's no, all water.
It is. Right.
And you got to lift it up into the back of the truck.
It was me and one other guy, and we couldn't lift it ourselves, so we ended up creating this. Mr. Gear had some lumber. Unfortunately, Mr. Gear didn't have use of his right arm or something like that, so he wasn't a lot of help. But we did somehow manage to put together a teeter-totter arrangement, and we used Mr. Gear as the counterweight.
Okay.
Give me a lever. Archimedes.
That's brilliant.
We somehow managed to roll it up into the back of the truck, but, man, that thing weighed a ton 20 or 30 years ago when I went over and got it.
Yeah.
When I was
young. Before lift gates.
Yeah.
I offered to dig a sago out of somebody's yard. Oof. It had about 3 feet of trunk on it. It was beautiful. And I was going to lift it by myself into the back of my Ford Ranger. And I dug it out. It was an August day, and it was on the east side of the house, so the rising sun was beating off of the house and baking me. And then there was nothing I could do. And I remember calling your dad, and he came to the rescue with a dolly and a trailer with a ramp, a low trailer, and helped me get it onto the trailer and down to the nursery. I was so stupid.
Well,
you've changed though, right?
Well, I'm still stupid, but I won't dig a sago anymore.
You learned that lesson.
I did learn that lesson.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go to Pacific Beach where Bruce is waiting. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, guys. Got a question about wisteria. We have a well-established wisteria. We've probably had it for 20 years plus. And we never water it. It seemed to do okay, but this year, it's just starting to come out right now, and there's really not very many flowers on it or anything. Basically leaves. I mean, you know, it's just starting to pop out right now, and I see other ones that are just really doing well. Should we be putting grow power on that or anything?
Certainly wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It just may not be ready yet. A lot of plants are just starting to come out of dormancy. Some things are late. And if it got stressed last summer, that's usually when the flower buds are forming during summer. If it got stressed, it may have damaged some of the flower buds. You said you don't water it. We did have a long, hot summer and fall, it seems to me. If it got drought stressed, that could be a partial cause.
You haven't cut it back or anything, have you?
No. We never do anything to it. I mean, it seems to do really well, but this year is kind of lacking so far.
Was there anything else around the yard that you didn't replace a lawn this last year or anything like that, did you? Something that used to get water near it that doesn't get watered anymore?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a cause. This summer, though, if we have a long, hot, well, we usually do, and we usually don't get much rain. Give it an occasional soaking, maybe just once or twice a month. Give it a little extra water this summer, and that should help it for next year.
Okay, and what about putting grow power on that? Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and if the buds are starting to come out, you could go ahead and feed it now.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you. You as well. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
A couple of years ago, you and I, we were talking on the air about the largest wisteria in the world, which is in California. Remember that?
Riverside or LA or something.
Sierra Madre.
That's right.
It's an enormous.
Yeah. It was planted in 1894. And it's the largest flowering plant in the world.
How big? Do you remember any of the stats on it?
I can look for
it's
you
an
real quick.
It's an enormous overhead. Well, you look it up, but right now.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ.
Wisteria. You know,
that's right. The biggest one up in Sierra Madre.
It was planted in 1894. They bought it with their little horse and buggy somewhere for 75 cents in a one-gallon container.
That's amazing. And it covers, what, over an acre now?
Over an acre.
And estimated?
Well, they say estimated weight over, I think, 250 tons.
That's just crazy.
Wow.
That's a big plant. And it's only open once a year because it's on private property. So they have a big festival that you could go up and see.
I think it's over in Japan. I've seen pictures of it. They planted a tunnel of them.
Yes.
And they're various colors. And it's
pretty cool.
It's really, really amazing. Interesting thing. You and I were talking about it yesterday, David, that I didn't know if I had missed it or I just hadn't seen it. But we didn't have hardly any ranunculus this year in bloom, in 4-inch containers
but not like we usually do. That is true.
What I was thinking is that we blew through them much more quickly than usual because things have been selling much more quickly than normal. Yeah,
before we even see them.
You know, it's also possible. Before we even see it.
What Mark just said is true. I have been pulling more stuff out of the back for customers. Oh, well, we just got some in. Let me go get it. Than I've ever done since I've been there.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with it.
Right.
But we're doing a decent job. Not to strain my arm patting ourselves on the back, but the demand is unbelievable. But also, a lot of our growers have shifted their production for more edibles. Because we're selling so many more vegetables and things, and they need the space. So it's possible that there were just
shortages.
Just not as many put out. Speaking of it, going back to vegetables again, I was walking through yesterday looking to see what we had. And on the herb table, we had cumin in Poway, which I had never seen before. Huh. And I wouldn't even known what it was if I was just looking at the plant. It's a weird-looking plant.
Huh, I don't even know that.
I wouldn't either.
It's kind of a grassy looking thing.
Well, I'm going to have to go look now.
Check it out. It's kind of interesting.
You know, before we get too far off, when we were talking about the wisteria, I kind of went into the biggest one in the world. The feeding, he was talking about feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And we fed ours over the last year. Last year didn't have a lot of blooms, but we fed ours probably 3 or 4 times since last spring. And this year, as I said earlier, it's in full bloom, and it has a lot more blooms on it than the last year. So I would encourage him to feed that plant.
Encourage. Do it. Go ahead.
Well, you help me.
I think you should feed.
Tell Bruce to.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah. It does.
Okay, and so the grow power would be fine. Perfect.
I used a flower and bloom, so a 312-12 in this case.
Well, since we're going back, I want to reiterate that flower buds on most plants are forming in the summer. So
I agreed. That's why I said I fed it all last year.
Yeah. No, but people don't associated with that.
Yeah, they think, well, I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now. Exactly. Yeah.
So
particularly on fruit trees.
Think back, fruit trees,
flowering thing. Yeah, I mean, like, got
to be ahead of the game.
Wisterias, give it some higher phosphorus fertilizer, like a 3-12-12 in the fall.
Oh my gosh, we had a customer in 2 mornings ago, and Poway opens at the nursery opens in Poway at 9 a.m. and in San Diego at 8 a.m.
Correct.
And she had called San Diego
at 8 a.m.
to get information, and
I gave it to her
at 8:45. She came to Poway, which we weren't open yet, but I let her in. Actually, I think it was closer to 8:30, wasn't it? Anyway, we didn't have the same fertilizer, and she had to have a 1-2-2.
Yes.
So a 5-10-10, and we didn't have a 1-2-2-4, you know, a 5-10-10 or a 2-4-4. We didn't have that same formula at the store in Poway, but she read online that the plant had to have a 5-10-10, but she would settle for a 1-2-2. But, and I tried to explain to her that the plant really isn't going to care. It may make a little bit of difference, but if you give it a 3-12-12, which was the Grow Power Flower and Bloom, but that's not what she read online. And
yeah,
she ended up with, they were debating whether they were going to drive to San Diego to get the right formula for her raspberries or blackberries or some berry, I think it was.
That I don't know.
But she ended up, they ended up going with something that we had rather than driving to San Diego for the 1-2-2.
And it's all going
to
be fine.
And I submit to you that whatever you gave her is going to work just fine, and those plants are going to grow.
She did not believe that.
Right.
Yeah, I've encountered that before where people do research on things and it'll give a specific,
ratio.
A specific guaranteed analysis of what you need, and they come in and that's exactly what they want, and
you can't get it, or you can't. I mean, yeah. I guess you could if you look online, you might be able to find it, but I mean, a lot of times
I'll ask them where they got it from. You know, was that an EDU site? Was it a reputable nursery, or was it like Bob's Garden Blog? And just somebody said, this is what I use, and it works really well.
Yeah,
and that's not the same as, you know, research-based.
And regionally too. I'm sure the fertilizers that I doubt people carry Grow Power on the East Coast. You know,
our formulations are for alkaline soils.
Right, they're tailored for Western soils.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And it's different around the country. And the plants don't care. They need nutrients.
Well, my favorite thing is the plants can't read, so they don't know that.
As I said,
last year we planted the entire vegetable garden with a rose and flower food.
Exactly.
And we had a great crop.
Great, because you didn't
just grow flowers.
I put it in a bucket. Yeah. And then I carried it down. I didn't want them to see the bag. If they saw rose and flower, they probably wouldn't have produced any fruit whatsoever.
They would have turned their leaves up at it.
Right.
Well, no, it is true.
And I go back and blame that on Bandini.
You had said that, with all the different formulations.
Because they had a different formulation. People would come in and buy 5 different bags of fertilizer. Right. And really what they need is one. And
Well, do you remember, what was it, the lawn food was the same thing as the rose food? Or it was 1688, or was super green was the same as rose food? Or I can't remember but it was Bandini.
That's the thing can be confusing about the guaranteed analysis, because the guaranteed analysis is they guarantee that this is in here. But it could be more than that. But it's at least this much.
Right.
So. I tell folks that if they want a single bag, then like the regular Grow Power is more than adequate to meet all of their needs.
Right.
And then everything after that is nuanced.
Correct.
Well, and Tom Spellman usually recommends the 3-12-12 because it has less nitrogen for everything, because it will encourage less growth, and it's easier in a limited garden space setting to keep everything smaller with less nitrogen. And so he recommends 3-12-12 for all of the fruit trees.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a fruit tree guy. The guy that sells us fruit trees. So.
Yeah, and we tell folks that too. I know that in our classes, you know, Richard Wright and others that have taught have said, you know, use the regular Grow Power for the first 2 years, get the tree established, get it to the size you want, do your summer pruning, and then just start feeding at the 3-12-12.
But you can't, because it's only 3% nitrogen, and citrus needs a lot more nitrogen than that. It won't work.
You're
supposed to say it will work.
Well, I was getting ready to. It will work. You'll get a lot of blooms. But nitrogen and avocados, they are heavy feeders, and so I typically do supplement with extra nitrogen.
And that's fine.
But that's nuanced. That's beyond. It'll work.
And that is where having a layer of mulch under your tree and having a bio system where the biological,
the microbial activity?
Activity is breaking down what's in the soil naturally. And that's why we recommend the grow powers and the organic fertilizers.
Absolutely.
Because
right.
Or grow power is not organic, but it helps your soil. It feeds the beneficial organisms in the soil like the organics do. And once you get that system going where you have organic matter in the soil that's being broken down,
the
you have beneficial
and the,
organisms. And what do you call those little red things in the soil? Worms. Sorry.
Well, the way you just did that, that didn't look like a worm. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, worms.
I was confused myself.
And worms in the soil. Once you have all that happening, then you don't have to feed as often as you would because the soil is taking care of itself.
All that organic material breaks down over time, and it's useful for
because,
the plant.
Because due to?
That microbial activity.
Activity.
You know, that's one of the, whenever we have people come in with their soil analysis, the first thing that's, or the thing that's lacking is nitrogen because we don't have all the leaves and stuff falling all year round getting into our soils like we have in other parts of the country.
So we're just trying to help you and to cut down on fertilizer sales.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't know. A lot of people want organics because they want to have an organic garden, but some people just want to take care of the soil, which is why the grow power is okay.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCPQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.